Praise the Lord. More than 1900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was raised in obscurity. He received no formal education and never possessed wealth or widespread influence. He never traveled extensively. He only once crossed the boundary of the country in which he lived. But this man's life has changed the course of history. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors of law. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the waves, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, yet his life has inspired more books than any other man's. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students as he has. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun. Yet no leader ever had more rebels surrender to him without a shot fired. He never practiced psychiatry, yet he has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Once every week, the wheels of commerce cease their turning, and multitudes worldwide gather to pay homage and worship to him. Though time has spread 20 centuries between the people of this generation and the time of his birth, he still lives. His enemies could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was perfect in all respects. He was sinless to the core. We are sinners condemned to die. But God loved us so much that he wanted to save us. God sent his own son to taste a cruel death on our behalf in order to save us from our own death. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. Today, he stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, worshipped and loved by his people, and feared by demons and devils, as a risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now Jesus ascended into heaven in the presence of his disciples from the city of Jerusalem. And before he went, he told them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you have to go and make disciples of all nations, commanding them, you know, to believe in me, to get baptized, and to learn to obey everything that I have commanded you." Now, this Jesus is the highest authority in heaven and on earth. And that is the shortest creed of Christianity. Jesus is Lord. He will one day judge the living and the dead, and each one of us will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We have gathered together here this evening to celebrate the birth of this Jesus Christ. And why is his birth so special? There are many reasons. It's not just his birth, but his life, his death, his resurrection. They're all special. His birth was announced by Jewish prophets more than 700 years before it happened. These prophets predicted that he would be born of a virgin who had never known a man. They predicted that he would be born in Bethlehem and be raised in Nazareth. His flight to Egypt also was predicted that he would come back from Egypt. Jesus' birth was announced by an angelic choir. Angels sang, It says, suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those who have his favor. Jesus' birth was indeed special. It was the most awaited event in the whole of history, dividing our timeline into BC and AD. And why is Jesus called the Son of God? It's because Jesus existed before the day of his birth on earth. He was with God. He was fully divine. And in the Hebrew language, the term Son of God is understood in a particular way. If a spark should fly out of a large fire, they refer to it as Son of the Fire. So someone who proceeded from God had to be called the Son of God. In addition to that, he was born like any other human being, except that Jesus did not have an earthly father. Jesus made astounding claims that no human being has ever made. Now, these claims make Jesus unique. Jesus said, for example, I am the bread of life, which means that Jesus is the source of everlasting life. We can earn our food and keep eating it day and night, but one day we will die. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you believe in me, you have crossed from death over to life. He also said, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will not walk in darkness. That means that Jesus is the only one who can give us knowledge of God. Those who refuse to listen to Jesus are like people who dwell in darkness and ignorance when it comes to the true God. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This means that Jesus is the true owner and leader of humanity. We are a sheep, and he came here searching for us in order to rescue us. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He claimed to have life in himself. Unlike us who depend on God for life, and unlike us who do not know when we will be born or when we will die, Jesus was a source of life, and he knew exactly when he would die. He alone can give us everlasting life. And finally, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. The fact is, no human being has ever made such a claim, and therefore Jesus actually does not have a competitor here. If you're looking for someone who has a statement, well, you won't find anyone else who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So he did not say, I will show you the way. He said, I am the way. He did not say, I will teach you the truth. He said, I am the truth. He did not say, come and I will show you where you can find life. He said, I am the life. And that's why Jesus is unique. You see, every day, millions of Indians, my countrymen, pray this prayer, the Shanti Mantra from the Upanishads. They pray this, Asatoma Sat Gamaya, meaning lead us from falsehood to the truth. Tamasoma Jyotir Gamaya, lead us from darkness to light. Mrityoma Amartam Gamaya, lead us from death to immortality. And yet, many of them have not heard about the only one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am sure that many of my Asian friends would love to accept Jesus as one of their many gods. But Jesus' unique claims, his unique birth, life, death, and resurrection, set him high above everyone else. This is why the leader among Jesus' disciples, the Apostle Peter, said, there is no other name under heaven available to men by which we may be saved. And why do we need to be saved? Are we lost? Yes, we are lost. The Bible says that we are lost in sin. We have missed God's target. We have disobeyed God's commandments, and therefore there is a disconnect between God and every human being. We have lost it, and we are trying our level best to do good and to please God and somehow to make it up and then finally enter heaven. But that won't work, because whatever we might do, every good deed that we do, these cannot erase the bad things that we have done. And there are so many religions around us. And you go and ask them, are you sure you're going to heaven? Well, they say, oh, it's God who decides. I still don't know. Well, you can know it while you're here on earth. You can know for sure if God will forgive you your sins. You see, Jesus came here for a purpose. He did not come here to live a life, but he came here to die, to offer his life up as a sacrifice. He said, I did not come to be served by other people, but I have come here to serve everyone and to lay down my life as a ransom for everyone. And the Bible says that we all are sinners, and therefore we cannot save ourselves. So God placed our sins on a sinless Savior and allowed him to suffer the punishment for our sins, so that his right standing with God can be given over to us. Our sins were placed on him, and his righteousness will be imputed to us, will be given over to us, if we accept before God what he has done. If only we will acknowledge before God, God, I know that I'm a sinner, I'm lost, and I cannot save myself. And I believe that you send your son Jesus Christ to die in my place. I accept this divine transaction. Please forgive me my sins, because Jesus has paid the price. In that case, Jesus can forgive you your sins. You see, Jesus' death was so special. How many of us can predict our death? Can we? No, it's not possible. I know a religious leader in my country who said that he would die at a particular time. His prediction was made public. Now, this happened many years ago during our grandfather's generation that time. But he is still a venerated religious leader. He has a strong following. In fact, his disciples had to kill him in order to make his prediction come true. But look at Jesus. He predicted that he would be betrayed. He predicted his arrest, how he would be tortured, how his disciples would flee from him. He predicted it. He even predicted how he would be killed, not by stoning, but by crucifixion. In fact, the prophets in the Bible, Hebrew prophets, prophesied and predicted that Jesus would be crucified centuries before crucifixion was even invented by the Romans. So the death of Jesus was no accident. He did not die for his mischief. He died according to God's will, according to the prophecies in the ancient scriptures. And he died to accomplish a divine purpose. Even the judges that tried him were at a loss. They said, I find no offense in him that deserves death. But still they could not set him free, because heaven had decreed otherwise. And why are we Christians still proud of a leader, a savior whom we follow, who was crucified on a cross like a common criminal? You see, he was hung naked on a cross. People spat on him. They turned his face away from him, and they could not even understand that it was Jesus. He was so much bruised and broken. Most people try to say, see, I'm from this community, I'm from this tribe, and my ancestors, you know, they're so great. We try to say good things about our forefathers, don't we? So in my community, they say, yeah, I can trace my family line all the way to those original Brahmin families that were converted by Apostle Thomas when he came to India. They'll say that. But one man tried to do some research, and he found that one of his forefathers was actually a criminal, and the government in those days had to hang him publicly. Now, how would he write the story of his family or his forefather like that? He could not. So he had to write like this. My grandfather died while attending a government function, and when the floor gave way, he died. So people find it very difficult to acknowledge the fact that their forefather or leader had to die an ignominious death. But why are Christians going on telling that their leader, that their religious leader and teacher and Lord had to die like a common criminal? Because he did not die for his sins. When we look to the cross, we see God's gift. Today we put our Christmas gifts under a tree, but God put his gift on the tree. Amen. He put his gift for the world, the Savior of the world. He gave us his own dear son who had not committed a single sin. And how do we know that all these things are true? We know it because Jesus is not dead and gone. He is alive. He is in our midst. He is here to do the very things that he did 2,000 years ago when he walked the streets of Palestine. How many of us believe that? Hallelujah. Today, if you will pray to him, you can experience his presence. And he is right here to forgive you your sins, to cancel off your debt before God, to give you a clean slate, to break your addictions, your bondages to sin. He's here to heal your sicknesses. He's here to deliver you from your fears. Any illness, whether it's physical or psychological, any kind of oppression that you're suffering, Jesus is able to save you from your deadly fears, your depression, any kind of oppression that you're facing in your life. He can set you free like that. He not only forgives you your sins, he actually sets us free from the power of sin. New Year is coming. I know many of us will have New Year resolutions. Oh, I will not do this. I will not do that. I'll start doing this. You see, sin is not something that you can shake off. You need forgiveness. And it's through Jesus and his sacrifice that we get forgiveness. Once we get forgiveness, God creates a new heart within us. He gives us a new slate and he gives us a new start in our life. And there are very many among us here who have experienced this new birth through Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we close our eyes for a moment? The Lord Jesus Christ is here to set us free. If only you will reach out to him. Just open your heart and cry out to him. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the unique Son of God who lived here on the earth, who gave his life for me. I accept God's love. Lord, help me. Heal me, deliver me, save me. Whoever cries out to the name of the Lord will be saved. Now God knows our heart. He knows you're reaching out to him. Whether you're here or you're watching us on your television screens, I know Jesus is with you by your side to set you free. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for Jesus Christ, the Savior whom you sent to save us from darkness, death, disease, demons, and all kinds of oppression. We thank you for the hope we have in Jesus, the greatest gift we have received from you, the bread of life that will satisfy us, the water of life that will quench our thirst. Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes, that you will open our hearts the way you opened the heart of Lydia. We pray that you will enter our hearts to make us new, change us. We pray that you will dwell within our bodies, make us the temple of God. Lord, help us, save us, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening patiently. Wish you a Merry Christmas. Amen.
We want to continue for a few more moments in prayer. As we look to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Pastor Philip has so eloquently shared with us this evening. The wonderful thing about a gift, and God tells us that Jesus Christ and his life on this earth and the power to forgive sins and his promise to take us to himself when the time comes is a gift. It means that all of us are free to receive it. We never pay for a gift. Someone else pays for a gift to give to us. And Jesus paid that wonderful price for each of us. I want to pray for just two more things. Reverend Philip mentioned how Jesus' life and testimony is part of our healing. Healing first and foremost our relationship with God, and then also healing our relationships with one another. And Christmas, being a time of families coming together, can often be a very painful time, because not all families get on to with one another. Not all families are free with one another. And I want to pray very specifically that this Christmas, there will be a time of great healing for your family, regardless of what you've had to go through the year 2017. It'll be a year of healing for the Kenyan family, that our nation will find and discover a wonderful period of healing. And then the second prayer we want to pray as we conclude our time is that for all of you who are not only here at Seton Parklands, but watching us by television around the world, especially through Hope Media, you will find as quickly as possible another person that you can share what God has done in your life today. Don't just keep this gift to yourself. Share it with others that you know need it and desire it. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift that you have given and shared with us through your own Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that, yes, he came as a helpless babe, lived a humble life, died a gruesome death, but rose to an everlasting and most powerful resurrection. We thank you that as we celebrate the gift of his life to us this Christmas season, we know that that gift is freely given to everyone who will receive it. We receive by faith, even as we have just prayed, all that comes with that gift, the gift of healing, healing of our own relationship with you and our relationship with one another. This evening, O God, I want to pray for every family under the sound of my voice, those who are present here in this sanctuary and those who are watching us over the airwaves. I pray that this indeed will be a Christmas season of healing. It'll be a healing time for every family, that it will be a time, O God, where old wounds, O Father, which may have been uncovered or covered for many years, will be healed by the presence and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that this will be a new beginning, for you were ushered into the earth a new hope, a new life, when Jesus came and was born to be like a man. We also desire, O God, to pray for those who amongst us have made that decision tonight to receive freely the gift of eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that their hearts will be open to tell others and to witness, O God, of that wonderful truth. And so we declare your blessing upon us, upon all of us who have freely received this gift that was freely given, and we rejoice and celebrate in its power and effect in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering as we show our gratitude to Reverend Philip Epen. Thank you so much for such a timely word. I will never forget that the shortest creed in all of Christianity is Jesus is Lord. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Tell your other neighbor, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Thank you, Deepak and Gary. God bless you guys.